Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Let me talking about some purchases that I got. And I've kind of held back on the purchases, but this was a big one, and I wanted to go through it so I can inventory it. I got these from a friend and listener of the podcast. His name is Reed, and I got the Hulk run from him too as well. So he threw in some goodies, extra books that just as a kind act, he threw in a Bad Kitty. I don't know what this is, but I'm guessing it's a Chaos comic. So I'm going to open it up right now. And Bad Kitty sounds like a Chaos comic. Yeah, it's a Chaos comic. She sounded familiar. Because she recently, if I remember correctly, appeared in a Dynamite comic, because Brian Polito lost all of his properties except for Lady Death, essentially, during his bankruptcy, I guess. And Dynamite, I guess, got the rights to it. Right now, I think they're doing Hack Slash versus Chaos or something to that effect. And I gotta get something to drink. I'm a professional podcaster, yes I am. And so he threw in this one. It is a collector's edition, 1 in 3,000 copies. He also threw in some Strike Force Moratori. I think I read one of these, and this isn't a full run, and I don't own any. I think I own one comic. I think I read one on the digital, Marvel Unlimited, but this is number 1, 13, 11. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, and 5. So it's a fairly good run. I need to get like two and a couple others, but that's a good start. And it was all thrown in for free, which is cool. I like free comics. The next few are all Amazing Spider-Man. So I've been buying a lot of Marvel lately, and I want to complete runs. I know I'm not going to get Amazing Spider-Man number one, but I want to have like a full run of like 40 to the end of the run, and the same thing with the Hulk. Except that starts in the hundreds. I probably won't get 1 through 5, but so. A new title and database is available. I thought I downloaded that this morning. What the hell? This is not good. This happens every now and then when Comic Base crashes on me. It crashes and then it only happens sometimes when I don't compress the database. You have to do like maintenance. And if you run the Sidekick app, it will do it for you. And I don't. But I'm going to go into the app. Amazing Spider-Man, my favorite database. We can see what the earliest issue I have is now in Amazing Spider-Man Volume 1. And I've never been a huge Spider-Man fan, but I have found some love. It's 62, and I know why I bought that. Because I love Medusa. I was on a Inhumans tear at one point, getting their first appearance, because I love the Inhumans. Well, I know a lot of people don't love it. And I had to have this Spider-Man issue. But, so this run does have amazing the comics I just got in this bundle has 117 is my the earliest one. So I can go jump to issue 117. And this actually has a reprint in it. This is interesting. It has a reprint of Spider-Man number one. So I don't know if it's the first reprint, but it also has it's the first appearance of let's see, who is this? 117. Reprint Spectacular Spider-Man number one, and from the magazine. That's interesting. And it is it the first appearance of the Disruptor? So there you go. That's weird. There's a Disruptor. I think that just appeared in Titans or something to that effect. So that's 117. I'm going to have to inventory them after I'm done with this podcast. The next issue is 127. This is a beautiful one. Issue 127 that I got on this collection. Thank you, Reed. This looks amazing. This is it says it's versus the third Vulture. I guess the third time he's fought the Vulture. And it's got an appearance of the Human Torch. An amazing cover. This one has like arrows pointing to different parts of the story. The first one is, who is the lovely victim of the mysterious killer from the skies? So he Vulture killed some. Why does the Vulture fly again? And why will his next victim be Mary Jane? And then it says, what is the sinister secret behind the seething hatred of Harry Osborn? If you read only one comic mag story this month, it must be The Dark Wings of Death. And then it has Spider-Man in the center with the web. And it says, I've got to get free. Got to find the answers before it's too late. 127. Really nice copy. The next one I get is 128. Oh, and I already have 124 and 125 because I went on a Man-Wolf tear. I have the first appearance of Man-Wolf. I love Man-Wolf. That was a back issue thing. I read an article on Man-Wolf and then just became obsessed with Man-Wolf one year. Started buying them all. So 128 is the origin of the Vulture. And this one says, "You, it can't be. I put you behind bars only a few minutes ago." And he says, no jail can hold the Vulture, not when I have sworn your death, the shadow of the Vulture. So the next one I have is 132. 132. Too bad I don't have 129. Rob's trying to get me to get that book. He's been dropping a load on some expensive books lately. I'm gonna have to get him on a collector's corner again. 132. This is just versus the Molten Man. It says no one stands in the Molten Man's way. No one. He's stronger and deadlier than ever, Spider-Man says. This one is a big issue for me because if you guys have been listening to this show, I told you how much I love Clone Saga. And 149 is the first appearance of Ben Reilly. It's the death of the Jackal, the death of the Spider clone, fake death, and the death of Spider-Man, Ben Reilly. So I'm looking to see where it all started. I'm very, very happy with this one. I'm really excited to read that. The next book we're going to jump to is 152. And 152 is versus the Shocker, and it also has a Marvel value stamp, Series B, number 6. Shattered by the Shocker. Webhead, you've tangled with me once often, too often. This time you're going to be shattered by the Shocker. He's right. Once I hit those whirling dynamo blades, it'll be goodbye, Spidey. The next one we have is 154. Let's see if we have any special notes. That's by Len Wein and John Romita. It's just versus the Sandman. And Sandman's in that strange costume of his when he was part of the Fatal something four. I can't remember. It had the Wizard, Medusa, him, and one other. Maybe the Fixer or the Trapper or the guy with the glue guns. I don't know. This time, Webhead, I'm going to plaster you to the wall. And he has the power to do it. How can I beat the guy when my webbing goes right through him? That's 154. Len Wein. The next one we got. This one I had when I was a kid, and I somehow traded it away. 156. I must have read it, several times. It is the first appearance of Mirage One, Desmond Charney, and the wedding of Betty Brant and Ned Leeds. So, this is has Spider-Man. The wedding's happening, and it's got, Betty and Ned Leeds and Jonah and Robbie and all the newspaper, Matt May at the back. And there's, "To beat me, Webhead, you have to find the real me first, and you're not going to live long enough to do that." And it's Mirage. So there you go. We have 157. Oh, that issue is by, what's that, 155? What was that? 156. That one's by Len Wein and John Romita. Russ Andrew. 157, also Len Wein, John Romita, Russ Andrew. I didn't know Len Wein did so much Spider-Man. That's interesting. We have Doc Ock, and Doc Ock has returned from the dead, Web Slinger. Let's see if you can do the same. We have 158. Looks like he's still fighting Doc Ock. Len Wein and Russ Andrew, 1976. Got a break free of Dr. Octopus before the ghost of Hammerhead murders my Aunt May. And it's got a ghost of Hammerhead in the background. We then have Amazing Spider-Man 160. And this is versus the Thinker, the Tinker, sorry. And it says, has Spider-Man crawling on the wall, and he's saying, "It's impossible. All my superpowers have failed me. Exactly as I planned, you fool. In the moments, you will be dead, and your own Spider-Mobile will be your murderer." It looks like he's going to run over him on the side of a building. We then have 162. This has Punisher on the cover with Nightcrawler. And it's called Let the Punisher Fit the Crime. Punisher's looks like he's on a, what do they call these things? A tram, like one of those ski lifts, but it's a tram like going with they put a bunch of people in these trams. Not like a ski lift, but it goes up on that cabling. And only one of us is coming down here alive, and it looks like he's going to try to shoot Nightcrawler and Spider-Man. And then we got 163 versus the Kingpin with Len Wein and Russ Andrew. And it says the Kingpin is back, Webhead, and this time there's no way on earth to stop him. That's what Spider-Man says. We then have this one I've owned too, 164. But probably traded it away. This has the Kingpin on it. "Pleading won't help you, Web Slinger. Within seconds, you'll be dead, and there's nothing you can do to prevent it. The final hour." That's also Len Wein and Russ Andrew. We then have 165, same creative team, versus Stegron, Stegator, like he's like a dinosaur type character. He looks familiar, but I'm not sure I read about him. And it looks like the next issue, 166, he's actually fighting the Lizard and Stegron. So two reptile men. You then have 168, which which is versus the Will of the Wisp. Same creative team. We then have 169. And there's two editions on this, and I have the 30-cent edition. J. Jonah Jameson acquires a photo showing Spider-Man disposing of clones. And it has a Frank Miller letter column. How about that? It has J. Jonah Jameson on the cover exposing Spider-Man with Peter on it. It says, "Peter Parker, I know you're Spider-Man." And I have the photos to prove it. Same creative team. 170. Ooh, Man Wolf. This one I may have already owned, so that's my second copy of it. But it's a 30-cent edition versus Faustus, and looks like Man Wolf is there, Doc Ock, Vulture, and Green Goblin with and Rhino on the cover. We then get to 171. A Nova appearance. And this is they're fighting Photon. And then 174 is the next one I have. And that is the Punisher is after them. He's back, the pulse pounding Punisher. If either of you takes one more step, J. Jonah Jameson is finished. The hitman's back in town, and New York may never be the same. Let's get the next one, 172. I think a Rob just read this one. I thought I saw it on his Twitter. It's the first appearance of Rocket Racer. And then 173 is versus the Molten Man. Same creative team, so this is a long run. I guess I never realized how much Len Wein contributed to Marvel because I've been such a DC nut. 176. This is the first appearance of Green Goblin 3. I didn't even know there was a Green Goblin 3. Dr. Barton Hamilton. And it's also his origin. You, what have you done to Flash Thompson? And then it's got Green Goblin's shadow in the background. Interesting. We have 177 as well. Versus Silvermane, and it's got Green Goblin, obviously the third one. Stand aside, fools, the Green Goblin has returned. How can we stop him? Forget the Goblin. Are we gonna stop him? And he's pointing to Spider-Man. Got 179, it's also the Goblin versus Spider-Man. And versus Silvermane. Theater of Fury. Can see I bought a lot of Spider-Man. 181. The origin of Spider-Man. Retelling of it. It's a cool cover. He's like over someone's grave. It's probably Uncle Ben's. You can't see it. Who? The engraving on it. But you have the Lizard, Doctor Doom, Doc Octopus, and Kingpin in the background. They're floating heads. 184. Oh, team changed. 181. Bill Matlow and Sal Buscema. And then we got 184. The first appearance of the White Dragon 2. There you go. Marv Wolfman and Russ Andrew. 193. This is also one that I remember reading as a kid. And it's versus the Fly. If the Fly has all my powers, then how can I ever defeat him? The answer should be obvious. You can't. This is also one I've owned. 196. 196. The Death of Aunt May. I read this one. It's a fake death. No, the Death of Aunt May is like one that I read in the Clone Saga. This isn't that. Versus Kingpin and versus Mysterio. And It's by Marv Wolfman and Al Milgrom. We then get into 197. 197. It's versus the Kingpin again. Marv Wolfman and Keith Pollard. And 200. 200 is the death of an unnamed burglar. The unnamed burglar that shot Ben. And again, the origin of Spider-Man. And Aunt May is revealed to be alive. So that'll be interesting to figure out how she died and came back. Because I haven't read these. 210. 210. If you hear a mouse clicking, it's because I'm going to the database, seeing the notes section in Comic Base. It's the first appearance of Madame Web. And the origin of Madame Web. 210 by Denny O'Neil and John Romita Jr. Man, John Romita Jr. has been drawing a long time. 211. You got a Submariner on the cover. Same creative team. No one may attack the Submariner's underground kingdom, not even you, Spider-Man. 214. Versus the Frightful Four. That is the team that I was meant to tell you before. Has Submariner on the cover. Same creative team. Spidey and Submariner fight against the Frightful Four. And this one, you have the Wizard and Sandman and the Trapster. So I got some of them right, but that doesn't look like Medusa in the shadows. It looks like some other woman's taking her place. We got 215. Oh, it looks like it's one of Submariner's women on the team at this point. Because I have 215 as well. And it's a continuation of that story. And then we have 216. It looks like Madame Web's in there. And the race is on. Will death be the victor? And that's same creative team. Got 219 and 220. 219 says Peter Parker criminal, like he was arrested. 219 versus the Gray Gargoyle. Luke McDonnell on pencils, Denny O'Neil. And then we have 220, which is a Moon Knight issue. And it's an Aunt May story. Michael Fleshner, Mike W. Barr, Bob McLeod, and Wynn Mortimer. So a different team there. 221. Denny O'Neil and Alan Cooperberg. He looks like he's fighting somebody called Ramrod, and he's running into a building and smashing the side of a building. Crisis on campus. We then got 222. Oh, the Wizard. I think this is the Wizard. Versus, oh no, it's the Speed Demon, sorry. Versus the Speed Demon. Bill Matlow, Bob Hall. 223 versus the Super Apes and Red Ghosts. That's J.M. DeMatteis, Denny O'Neil, and John Romita Jr. 224 is Roger Stern and John Romita Jr. Pablo Marcos versus the Vulture. 226 is Roger Stern and John Romita Jr. This is a Black Cat. She's the Black Cat issue. We got Amazing Spider-Man 229. He looks like he's going to fight the Juggernaut. Nothing can stop the Juggernaut. Roger Stern, John Romita Jr., and Jim Mooney. And he's looks like killed Madame Web. At least he's holding Madame Web like she's dead. We got 230. It's also got a Juggernaut cover. Roger Stern and John Romita Jr. to fight the unbeatable foe. The whole Juggernaut head takes the whole cover. 231 versus Cobra. The not the G.I. Joe Cobra, but Cobra. You ought to see Mr. Hyde team up with Cobra a lot. This is that Cobra. Looks like he's wrapped around Spider-Man. And then 264, we're jumping ahead. There's a big gap. 260. So maybe Reed stopped collecting at that time. 264. That one's by Craig Anderson and Paddy Cochran. Interesting. 1985. And I have a bunch of issues right before it. So this one, like, I've been on that Tom DeFalco, so this is like a one shot in between the Tom DeFalco run. And I bought all those Tom DeFalco ones prior to that. So we got 269. That's a Tom DeFalco, Rob Friends. I haven't read this one yet. With he's fighting Fire Lord, Herald of Galactus. 272. Same creative team. No, Sal Buscema on art, but it's Tom DeFalco. It's the first appearance of Slide. Why don't you slide? Who sings that song? This one, 283. This looks like a lot of fun because of who's on it. Probably after Secret Wars. And I know it's after Secret Wars because Tom DeFalco and them started the black costume. This is versus 283. Versus Absorbing Man and Titania by Tom DeFalco and Ron Friends. And last but not least, 284, which is Gang War Part 1 by Ron Friends. He's actually have writing credits. Tom DeFalco, James Owsley. That's Christopher Priest, by the way. Brett Breeding is on art. So there you go. A lot of Spider-Man. And that's probably close to when I started collecting with 290. So then I have like a whole bunch of it. A whole bunch of the series. Yeah, I'm missing some stuff. Towards the very end, I think. Maybe I'm not. Yeah, I don't think I'm missing anything. Yeah, this really helped fill a lot of the run. I want to thank Reed for hooking me up. And looks like we're going to team up again in the new year, and I'm going to be buying another part of his collection. So look forward to seeing what that is going to be. And that one I don't own too much of, so stand by. The other thing that arrived this week, I got two Kickstarters. I got Cauldron. It looks like a horror magazine type book. Look forward to reading that. And I received Skies of Fire hardback, volume one. It's a beautiful piece hardcover. I don't remember how much I paid for this Kickstarter, but it looks pretty doggone cool. And the other thing that came in is I had the opportunity to get a commission from Kevin Van Hook, the creator of Bloodshot. We're friends on Facebook, and he was trying to make some money to help a friend of his or relative. I don't know the details, but they had some medical expenses, and he offered me a commission, and I took advantage of it. And I got a Bloodshot. I had to get a Bloodshot from the creator of Bloodshot. I mean, just so I could say I have it. And then I got a Rye. So Rye and Bloodshot are both on it. Very cool commission. Thank you, Kevin. Hope your friend or relative gets better. And I hope this helped a little bit because it helped me. I have a beautiful commission in my collection. Thanks. And thanks for offering that. To me, I really appreciate it. So, yeah, that's that. And I'll be right back. Oh, the other thing I want to talk about is a little bit of Grant Morrison because the new Green Lantern came out. So, I'm gonna reread it, but I wasn't wowed. And he's throwing like some weird shit, like he always throws against the wall. And I don't know. I just don't find his writing to be very likable, as much as I used to. And I still think his biggest work is, for me, is Animal Man. And that one even had some weird shit in it with the coyote issue. So I don't know what to think about this. It's a beautiful book. I saw the preview. I thought I was going to like it a lot more than I did. But I didn't. And I don't know if it's because I read it so goddamn early at 4 a.m. I woke up having the work dreams, like getting stressed out. I needed to calm down, came downstairs, read Green Lantern. So my mind was fresh, at least, because it's fresh in the morning rather than being exhausted. I read it, and then I got sleepy, so that's not good. I went back to bed. Seems like some kind of sci-fi cop thing from Heavy Metal instead of like a Hal Jordan book. But we'll see. It's only issue one, and I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was a 5 out of 5. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, and really because of the art. I can't give it a 3 out of 5. I give the story a 3 out of 5 for me. But the art by Liam Sharp was pretty sharp. I give that a 5 out of a 5 out of 5 on the art. I think it looked really nice. Except there was a weird fight scene in a casino, an alien casino. And it looked really steel, like for a fight scene. You know, the Green Lantern was kind of just standing straight fighting a spider alien. But it was an interesting concept. I want to reread it because I might feel differently about it. I have reread comics and have changed my mind. And we'll see what happens here. I'll be right back with some weekly reads. Thank you for listening through a lot of recent purchases. I just had to order another 1,000. Another 1,000 Mylights, and I'm running out. I'm actually not gonna be. I'm gonna have to like not bag and board my comics for a week because there's a 2 to 3 week. It's 2 to 2.5 weeks before, if you place your order with them, that they ship it to you. The last time, sometimes they've been faster. Like, I used to get it, if I ordered it now, I'd get it next week. But it looks like I'll be getting it the 2 weeks from now. Which could be bad if that's Thanksgiving week. That'll be bad. But, I might have to coordinate something. I might call them and tell them to ship it after Thanksgiving week. Because there's this coming week, and then there's Thanksgiving week. And they said 2 weeks. So that could be all right. Especially because of Thanksgiving. That I'm sure they're not going to work sending bags and boards. They probably have Thursday and Friday off. Give me the opportunity to get the books on. I might have to have a friend come and pick it. And the reason I hate to have it is because that the halfbacks of 1,000 halfbacks, that fucking thing is like 40 pounds, man. It's heavy as shit. I barely can lift it. I kind of like the way I lift it is I lift it just enough to like get into the door and then I slide it in. So, yeah, I'll be right back with some more weekly reads. Thank you for listening. All right, and I am back. And I had posted some questions, like asking for questions live. And guess who came to the rescue? Daryl Taylor of the Taylor Network. He asked about how many Kickstarters I'm currently backing, and I told him about 30. And he says, wow, that's expensive. And I said, and yes, it is. The next question he asks is, how has your collection grown in the last 5 years? I don't know, but it grows pretty big. I can gauge it somewhat by my shipment or my purchases of Mylars, which is going like every 3 months I purchase 1,000. So if that's 4,000, and that doesn't usually include back issues because they're already bagged and boarded. So I'd say about 5,000 comics a year it grows by. And that's an estimate. That doesn't include trades and Kickstarters. That's just based on the number of boards and stuff I have to buy. What are some comics you didn't like at first? After you reread them, you changed your view and vice versa. I think Clan Killers recently I wasn't too crazy about, but I didn't understand it, and I reread the beginning at least, and it changed my opinion of it. That's why I want to reread Green Lantern, which I've already sort of talked about. Batman 50, definitely. I read that one in the middle of the night. Was kind of ho-hum, and then I reread it. I think it was the next morning, and then reread it again, and I liked it more. Unnatural, that is a book I reread and liked it more the second time. That was an Image Comics about the animals, or the anamorphic, or what do they call them? I can't remember what they call them. That they can't breed with other types of animals. That was an Image comic. Trying to think of some other ones that were recent. I don't think it's ever happened inversely. Like, I read something and then say, I loved it, and then reread it and say, I don't like it. If you had a comic budget of under $100 a month, what would you have to buy? DC proper, whatever I could get. Probably the most mainstream stuff, like the Batman, Flash, Green Lantern, as much as I could possibly get. Wouldn't get any Vertigo, wouldn't get any kids' comics, wouldn't get any of the outer tier books. Just as much as I could get that is in the continuity, as I possibly could. That's what I would go for, 'cause DC's my heart. What three titles would you suggest I read? I don't know, Daryl. Me and you don't see eye to eye on comics anymore, so maybe I would point you in stuff I didn't like. I would not know what to tell you. Let's go to my list of things I've read recently that I would recommend to you that I think you would like. I think The Mall is too frou-frou for you, like it's 80s entertainment. I'm not sure you'd like it. I don't think you would like any of the Ahoy comics, but it's hard to tell. Oh, I think you would like, and I think you already posted you'd like it, but I think you'd like The Wrong Earth because it's really a knockoff on Batman. Like, what if Batman 66 crossed over with the Dark Knight? You read most DC, so I can't recommend too much. I would recommend Volition from Aftershock because you liked Rye, if I remember correctly, when we were talking Valiant. So I'd recommend that. I'm trying to skip all the DC stuff because I know you read it. I think you would have dug Eternal Thirst of Dracula, but that hasn't finished yet. It's just an interesting take. It's like Ed Wood type-ish. A guy that's like Ed Wood meets a real vampire. It's kind of interesting. Oblivion is pretty nice from Scout Comics. I think you would enjoy that, number one. You wouldn't like Malefic. I don't think you would. All the stuff I think you've already read. Tinseltown, you might dig from Alterna. I think if there's any Alterna comics, you probably dig Alterna. I mean, Tinseltown. Hot Lunch Special, you'd probably dig. Bone Parish. Bone Parish, I think you'd like, even though I think you're not a crazy Brian Cullen fan. That's pretty much all I'm going to recommend, just scanning through the stuff that you might not have read. Yep, and that's just going put back in my list on some of the higher points. So I would say Volition, three titles you said, only Volition, Clan Killers, and I don't know, I gave you more than I should have given you. Oh, and the Wrong Earth. Oh, you might even like Captain Ginger. I know you're not a cat person, but you might like the Star Trek aspect of Captain Ginger. It is close to Star Trek, at least in my opinion. It's just with cats. But the cat humor might kill you. It's not really funny cat humor, I think, unless you're a cat person, and I'm not a cat person, so I didn't find it funny. But what I did find it is I found it a very entertaining Star Trek story. The next one you said, if you were stranded and had to choose between having an iPad with every DC comic ever done digitally versus 50 of your favorite paper comics, what would you choose? I would choose the 50 paper comics because there's no charger for the iPad and that thing would run out on an island. There's no electricity. There's nothing to charge that thing. So I would choose the 50 paper comics because I could read them over and over again, whereas that battery would die in, like, I don't know, 2 days maybe. I would choose the paper comics. Plus, if I needed fire, I can burn the paper comics. If I needed to cook something after I finish reading them, iPad you then can't do shit with. Once the battery's dead, that ain't worth shit. I bet you didn't think of that, huh? If you're stranded on the island, there's not gonna be any electricity to charge that thing. Kirk asked some questions. Why don't my children love comics by their extension of their father? That's a very interesting question. And I think I can answer that. Is because put yourself in their shoes. You're born and you have all this technology and other forms of entertainment that we didn't have as kids. Would you navigate to comics? Probably not. We were born in a generation where we had radio, TV, and nothing on demand. It was you watch it and whatever. And to pass time, you read, and comics was that thing. So if we were born in today's generation, we wouldn't be doing comics. Let's be honest, Kirk. That's a good question, though. That's that. And I think that works for a lot of things. Like, I don't know too many comics parents that their kids get into comics. My niece will read some of them, but that's not her thing. Like, she'll read them once in a blue moon for entertainment, and I think she does it because she knows I love them, so she will read it as entertainment, but there's other things to do. Rob's kids, I don't know. I think Bill Bomer's kids don't care for comics. I mean, they might read them here and there, but not like Bill. Rob Krieger's kids, probably the same, although I never asked them, but I bet they'd rather be playing with their Legos or doing something, the iPad. Campbell's kids already won't touch the comics, except they're more interested in the iPad, but the older Christopher will read collected editions, and I think they do get SpongeBob comics and read those. But I think it's because of peer pressure. No, I don't know. It's like they see their father doing it. If you have four kids, I think one will emulate or be attracted to something that you do. Your odds increase as you have more. So maybe you need to have more kids. US One or Team America, that one's easy. US One. Why aren't other characters as good as Sergeant Rock? There are many characters that are good as Sergeant Rock. I hate to tell you, but would you ever drop a title if a creator was ugly to you at a show? Oh, God, that's a tough one. It depends on how ugly. If they're rude, I can deal with it. But if they do something really bad, or to me, or to my friends, that might change the way I look at their work. I don't know. It's never happened. Did it happen to you, Kirk? I would like to know the answer to that. It is War Comics Month. What are your favorite obscure War Comics characters? Ice Cream Soldier. He's pretty obscure. Grave Digger, I guess he's pretty obscure. Captain Storm, PT Boat Skipper, Captain Storm. Most of them are obscure. I mean, how many people know Enemy Ace? The Fighting Five, I don't know that they're still, I'm still learning about them to know if I like them or not. Oh man, I can't think of any others. I'm not a big fan of Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos on the Marvel side. I'd like to see War as Hell. I'd like to get some of those books from the Marvel side to see what that's all about. There's a one shot coming out in previews soon. I didn't know it was War Comics Month, so that's fascinating. But I want to thank you, Daryl, and Kirk for coming to the rescue and asking some questions. Now I gotta find my weekly comics books and find out where I started. Okay. This is for July 23rd through July 29th of 2018. That week we had a total of 26 comics. We had 12 Marvel, 3 Image, 6 Dark Horse, 1 Avatar, 3 Aftershock, and 1 Action Lab. And just making sure I'm recording. We'll start at the bottom. The 3 out of 5 stellar number one. And I have a note here. The art was stellar. The art was really beautiful. And man, it almost takes it to a 4. The story is about a bounty hunter who brings in a criminal, but they're not giving the reward because of the war. And the government who put it, put out the reward has disbanded. So it's kind of like, yeah, you go for a bounty, you get your bounty, and you go back to turn it in, and then the government dissipated. Later, when she visits this sanctuary and finds out they're running out of supplies, that's where she's kind of from. She has flashbacks, and we are led to believe all of the destruction are caused by her and her family, which were weapons. So it's like she left her family and it's no longer a weapon. That sounds like a 4 out of 5. What the hell am I talking about? But I'll stick with my guns, and whatever happened that week, I gave it a 3 out of 5. Aberrant. This is from Action Lab. A military unit is called to disrupt a terrorist event, and they arrive. When they arrive, they rescue the citizens, but when they follow the terrorists, they have been boosted with superpowers, and their leader loses the entire team. Somehow, he managed to defeat them, and the organization wants him to join their team, Article 13, to take out superpowers. So think of it as you're like Sergeant Fury in the Halley Commandos, and you go out to take out a superpower team, and your whole team gets slaughtered. So now you don't have the commandos, and you get back to the United States, and they want to recruit you. Sorry, I had to take a drink, and I dropped Barb's jackets all over the floor, so I have to pick them up. But that's what Aberrant is. That's from Action Lab. We have Amazing Spider-Man number 1. Peter is ecstatic that he is now again with Mary Jane. He goes to the university to try to reclaim his degree with the help of Kurt Connor, who can now change back to the lizard sort of on demand in the class, and he has an inhibitor that keeps him under control, I believe. They have the original device that gave Peter his powers, and Taskmaster and Black Ant come to steal it. They are defeated by Spider-Man. At the end, Peter is confronted by Spider-Man? And you'll find out how all that ends. That story arc has already ended, which surprised me. I thought it'd be at least 12 issues. That was the Nick Spencer run of Amazing Spider-Man. We have Cross Plus 100 Mimic. In the future, the ineffective have a new language. That's the whole thing about Class 100. It's almost like they forget how to talk, and it's a little hard to read. You have to read a couple of Class 100 to get what the language is. They build a huge, like, it seems like Martin Ferretti would love this because it's like a language thing, and he loves that shit. They build a huge fort, and the infected are dying out because they are slaughtering each other. Some of the crossed have gained smarts, and some of the leaders were born crossed. That's interesting. They invade the fort, and the smart crossed want to keep some of the women and children alive. One of the crossed leaders keeps the archivist alive, kind of like their librarian, to help him capture some of the leaders, and he wants to know the history. She tells him about how the fort started and the initial attack by the cross that did inbreeding on the Fuck Farm. There really is something called the Fuck Farm. We have Harrow County 1 through 6. This is Cullen Bunn from Dark Horse. A witch is burned and destroyed in Harrow County, and then many years later, a father finds his daughter may be the witch reincarnated and tries to kill her with the townsfolks. After several run-ins with the Haints and finding a young boy and his skin, the father of the town recognized her as a healer. Her twin sister comes into town and seems to have an evil side and wants to dig up the witch that she calls mother. Fantastic back matter about actual hauntings. I mean, like, kind of like things that stories of when you were a kid. We talked about that a little bit on Geek Brunch Retro. Pestilence 1 through 3. This is Aftershock. This is in medieval times. There is a specialty group that works for the king and the church. You think cities are being overrun with the plague, but it is the living dead. They're trying to rescue the Pope from zombies, essentially. That was entertaining. I gave that a 5 out of 5. Generation X. number 1 through 3. It's been a while since I've read this stuff. Husk, Skin, Sync, M, Jubilee, Chamber are taking on Empath. The instructors are Banshee and Emma Frost. Gateway brings Penance to stay with Generation X, and she breaks loose, and the team has to fight her and track her down. Chamber is able to get her to settle down by simply establishing a trust. I had these originally, and I started buying to complete the run, but I did have 1 through 3, and I reread them. I think I read 1 through 3 on the iPad on Marvel Unlimited. We then get into one of my favorite Marvel comics, Immortal Hulk 1 through 3. A young robber goes into a gas station and kills a little girl, Bruce Banner and the attendant. That's when Bruce Banner kind of dies. He is scared and had to go rob the gas station for a gang. The Hulk finds the gang and the guy and breaks almost every bone in his body. It seems to change at night like in the Silver Age. It's like a tribute to the Silver Age. I thought Immortal Hulk was fantastic. Elements of the Silver Age with the horror vibe. Also had some elements of the TV show and has a reporter, actually a female reporter called Mrs. McGee. Art was brilliant. Bruce finds the grave of the son of the scientist who gamma radiated his son for sports, and it killed them. He was a gamma monster as well. The third story is told through several bystanders who witnessed the Hulk after he went after a gamma radiated teenager. They are telling the story to McGee, the female reporter. A lot of people didn't like that third issue. I thought it was just fine. I gave it a 5 out of 5, that whole 1 through 3. We have Shanghai Red number 1. This is a group of slaves overtake a ship on a day there to be freed. The main character turns out to be the woman and is heading back home to get vengeance for those who put her on the ship to begin with. And they actually took her family. Weatherman number 1, an Image comic. Earth was destroyed and there was a colony on Mars. The weather is controlled on Mars by the Weatherman. He finally gets a date with a girl he has been interested in for a very long time. They go on the date only to be interrupted by a gang to capture the Weatherman. The female he was dating then arrests him for the destruction of Earth, like he's responsible. We then get into the last 5 out of 5, which is Punisher Max the Platoon. Amazing story. I fell in love with this. A reporter talks to Frank Castle, First Platoon, in which every single member survived because of Frank's leadership. Reporter also talked to the Viet Cong colonel who was training the young female soldier where her family died. She was seeking revenge on the Americans and wanted to kill Frank because of the bombings on her village. An excellent story, and I cried several times. Usually, if I cry, it's a 5 out of 5. So the top books that week, 5 out of 5s. There's a lot of them: Pestilence, Generation X, Immortal Hulk, Shanghai Red, Weathermen, Punisher Max. We're going to get into July 30th through August 5th. We had 19 comics, 3 Marvel, 7 Image, 1 Dynamite, 7 DC, 1 Action Lab. Well, I didn't total the web. There's another comic company, and I don't remember what they're called, and I'm not going to look them up. I'm just going to call it Comixology. Comixology 2. But, Death Rattler 2 and 3, she is caught up by two bounty hunters and she convinces them to help her go after the gang she is after. She's actually seeking revenge for the death of her father, I believe. That I rated a 4 out of 5. Challengers of the Unknown number 79. It reprints Challengers of the Unknown 1 and 2, where the first story they have to fight the character Rock, who can imagine any device into reality. Ace gets the same ability and they are able to defeat him. The next story, they find an orb that transports them to an alien world to be toys until the parents find out and send the challengers back. In other words, they go to an alien world and they find their toys to a child alien. And then the alien child's parents walk in and say, "What are you doing with all these live figures? How did you bring them over here? You got to let those toys go." And that's how that kind of story goes. So then we have Generation X 4 and 5, a Christmas special with the group. Emma and team go to try to rescue Leech and run into Morrow and another warlock. Banshee tries to get Penance to open up, and Gateway tries to communicate with Chamber. We have Action Comics 995. Lois goes looking for her father in another country. Booster and Superman confront General Zod's son. We have Spawn 33, 47, and 48. This were issues I'm missing, so that's why there's a gap. In other words, I didn't have 33 and then didn't have 47, 48. Spawn wants to leave the city because he is putting the homeless in danger. Violator seeks revenge on Spawn and says if he leaves the city, he will kill everyone he ever cares about. You know, all the homeless that are there. Spawn and plus he's got his wife and daughter. Spawn and Tremor go after Tony Twist to rescue Tremor's brother. Sam and Twitch set up their detective agency. Terry is trying really hard to find the dirt on Jason Wynn. Very awesome. Batman 52. Bruce tries to convince the jury of Mr. Freeze's innocence. 12 Devils Dancing, number one. Three comics in one. A wrongfully accused man is on death row. The real killer was burned by axe of an ex-FBI agent when he was a kid. The kids grew up in a cult-like environment. That was a very interesting comic. I didn't plan on buying that. And I think I heard. Did I hear her on Gotham by Geeks? I heard her on two podcasts. I heard Eric Schultz on Gotham by Geeks, and I heard her on Martin's interview podcast, and decided to give this book a try. And I did buy it digitally because I couldn't get the paper copy. However, since then, I got the paper copy. So, paper is where it's at. Challenges of the Unknown, 81, 83, and 84. A team goes on a mission to defeat the Multi-Man, who dies and then comes back with different powers. Find out Professor is dying. One of the rich guys who wants the challengers finds out who wants to be a challenger finds out that Prof is dying. He calls upon Alec Holland to help, and he is human again. Alec helps, but is transformed back into the Swamp Thing, and they defeat a cult from bringing back alien gods back into the world. Alec is transferred back into the Swamp Thing. Then Swamp Thing is possessed, and Dead Man has to save the day. And he does, and when he does, he goes into Professor's body, and he is able to exorcise the alien virus from his body. So he didn't die. Rogue and Gambit. This surprised me. This is a high 4 out of 5. Rogue and Gambit go undercover as a couple, unwillingly as a couple, to find out about a retreat that claims they can heal mutants. So it's like they pretend to be a romantic couple. Bionic Woman number 2 from Dynamite Comics. Jamie is trapped in a town of bionic bots. She is starting to gain her memory back and was able to reach out to Oscar and her organization. Challengers of the Unknown 74. A prof This is a 5 out of 5. A professor is framed by a ghost to rescue his daughter from the spirit world. It turns out she is not dead, and when the challengers try to get a box from the ghost, it is destroyed. Dead Man gets involved and is able to bring back the professor's daughter. We then have Spawn 50 to 51, 53, and 55. Terry is dying of a tumor in his brain. Cog warns Spawn of his costume Symbionite and says he is getting closer to going to hell. Terry goes into a coma because of the tumor. Spawn uses all his powers to save Terry because he loves Wanda so much, his wife, his ex-wife. I mean, she remarried when he died. This sends them to hell, where Al is dealing with his past sins because of all the people he's killed in the past life. Terry is starting to have memories of what Al is going through. Al still is in hell dealing with Malebolgia, Spawn and Terry find out Jason Wynn is supplying weapons to foreign entities, and they take out one of his warehouses. That I man, Spawn is good. So that was 19 comics. The top books were Spawn and Challenges of the Unknown. Final week, another 19 comics. We had 3 Marvel, 4 Image, 1 Dynamite, 6 DC, 1 Charlton, and 4 Atlas. Start at the 3 out of 5s. We got Ghost Number 0. This is Volume 2 when they try to relaunch Atlas Comics. The ghost is trying to protect a man that has recently died. No link to the past series at this point other than the alias of the Grim Ghost. That was kind of disappointing because Volume 1 was so tight. That's what I wrote. So tight. Gen 13, number 1. The crew... not number 1. Negative 1. The crew has just escaped the facility and decided to get some gas, like at a gas station. It was a bad idea because they run into an armored woman who is looking for Stormwatch, and they are able to defeat her. Cosmic Ghost Rider number 2. Ghost Rider is trying to raise baby Thanos and meets up with Galactus, who is trying to destroy the world he is on. The world that Cosmic Ghost Rider is currently on. Galactus proposes he kill Thanos, but Frank will not let him. The Watcher shows up and says Frank is making the biggest mistake, and then Cable shows up with his version of the Guardians of the Galaxy. We got Peacemaker number 1 from Charlton Comics. Peacemaker stops the Commodore from destroying the world. He thinks he rules the oceans in a submarine. Peacemaker stops a small country from gaining nuclear capability. And then it also had a Fighting Five story. Stop a Balkan nation leader from destroying the world. They lose a member. So it's like turns into the Fighting Four. I wanted to ask Kirk about this because I think I did when I interviewed him. I asked him if they ever lose members because they're called the Fighting Five because they did in this comic. But I don't know if this was before the Fighting Five were like launched, or no, because Fighting Five launched Peacemaker. His first appearance is in Fighting Five, and then he got his own series. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, X-23, number 2, Honey Badger still wants a birthday because she knows she's a clone and stuff like that. X-23 runs into the Cuckoos and sees what they're up to. They planned for this and captured Honey Badger. Honey Badger don't give a shit. Amazing Spider-Man, number 3, the device that created Spider-Man now split him into two. One Peter with no powers and Spider-Man with powers. Kurt Connors tested it on mice, and it does not look good for Peter because the mice are dying. We got Bionic Woman number 3 from Dynamite Comics. Jamie meets the resistance of bionic robots in a fax city she is in, and they team up to rescue those that want to leave. The general is hunting them down. OSI is still looking for Jamie. Man of Steel number 1 through 6. This was just a reread of the Bendis for the DC Noise Spotlight. Again, a 4 out of 5. We had Spawn 56 through 58. The last 4 out of 5. This was a very weird one as he is introduced to a guy, Major Forsberg, who used to work for Jason Wynn, who has a fascination with Genghis Khan. He is now in a dungeon imprisoned by Wynn, and Spawn rescues him. Spawn spends time trying to obtain information from Major Forsberg, but with no luck. Spawn is then attacked by Cygor, who's a giant, like, cybernetic ape. Spawn defeats Cygor. Wanda finds out that Terry is working to take down Wynn and becomes very worried for her family. Two kids that were in the previous issue of Spawn, previous issues of Spawn, like early in the early issues, with an abusive father, come to New York to seek Spawn's help. They get mixed up with a bad seed, but they lead this creep to Spawn, and he takes care of business. Spawn disassembles Cygor, and the government is pissed off. They spent a lot of money on that Cygor. We then get to the 5 out of 5s from Alice Comics, Grim Ghost number 1 through 3, Volume 1. In the 1700s, there is a stagecoach robber who messed with the wrong woman and she set him up to be hanged. When hanged, he went to hell, and Satan offered him to go to the 70s and bring in souls of bad people. He has a few run-ins with villains and sends them to hell with hell magic. The last book, he and Satan have to deal with brimstone. So that was cool. Total of 19 comics. So the 5 out of 5s were Grim Ghost Volume 1 for that one, for that week. So I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at any time on the Twitter machine, at Mike Myers Brunch. You can send me email at any time, at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I encourage questions and encourage comments, so send them down. You can also go to the website to do that, at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Leave a comment there. You can download all the episodes from there. You can go back to all the archives on the website, whereas if you use iTunes or some of the podcatchers, you might only be able to catch 50, the latest 50, and that's the last 50 of 4 different podcasts. So if you like a certain podcast and you want to get back to number 1, you got to go to the website. But the search does work well. So if you want episode 1 of something, you can go do it. What else? Facebook, Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Daryl Taylor. Go check out Gotham by Geeks, No Apologies, and all of his podcasts. Nothing's On, so many others. Find Kirk on Twitter because he's fascinating. He loves his war comics. He's a war comic specialist. And thank you for the questions. And I will be back next week with another 3 weeks of comics. And who knows what I'll be talking about. I did make another purchase, a big purchase. And if all those books come in, I've hit another major milestone, completing a Marvel highlight for me. It's like big. So stay tuned, because we'll be talking about that. And I completed some other series. So I'm excited. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.